This is Craig Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady, who represents the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District. He's also Vice Chairman of the Joint Economic Committee, meaning he's the top House member on that panel. And he and the Republican staff have just released information today showing that as a result of the rapidly devaluing U.S. dollar, Americans are actually paying more than half a dollar more than they should be for every gallon of gasoline. And he says it all goes back to the Fed policy of quantitative easing. We also want to get the congressman's comments on the news that we've officially, supposedly, hit our debt ceiling. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks for letting me join you.
Well, let's talk about how you calculated all this. Like I said, the Republican staff and the Joint Economic Committee saying that 56.5 cents has been added to every gallon of gasoline, so we should really be around $3.40 a gallon, but thanks to the Fed and other ways that the government continues to print and spend money, it's up over $4 now.
It really is. You know, you wonder how the Fed pumping all those trillions of dollars in the economy, what its impact is, and it sort of seems abstract, but what this study shows is that when the government drives down the value of the U.S. dollar, we pay more at the pump. In fact, we pay a pretty steep price, 56 cents more a gallon of gas, because the White House and the Fed are pursuing what's called a weak dollar policy, where they drive down interest rates, inject a lot of money into the economy, buy treasury securities and mortgage-backed securities. But the end result is a weak dollar and higher gas prices.
And a major factor in this, of course, is that oil prices are calculated in dollars, correct?
It is. It's exactly right. It's an international commodity. It's traded in dollars, and so a weak dollar has an immediate impact. In fact, if you just extrapolate this, a weak dollar adds $17 in added cost to a barrel of oil. That translates directly into higher costs when you and I fill up our vehicle.
I don't know if you can break it down, but of course what we've heard over the last several months is that unrest in Libya, the ongoing disruption in other countries that are important to the production of energy were a major factor here. But how much of it is due to instability in those areas, and how much of it is it due to the weakening of the dollar?
Well, some of it is due to those areas. In fact, you know, our argument for more American-made energy is that as long as the world has to rely more and more on unstable countries, less and less on stable countries like America, you're going to see that instability. But a good part of that, 56 cents, comes from the exceptionally low federal funds rate the Federal Reserve has put in place. They started quantitative easing one and two. They purchased Fannie and Freddie Mae obligations, all these securities, as a result, driving that dollar down. And boy, it really has an impact. We're paying more, not just for oil, of course, but for food and a lot of other commodities.
As you're, in your role on the committee as the top House figure, Vice Chairman, what answers have you gotten from the Fed about what they plan to do next, and what do you specifically think would be the smart way to go about all this?
Well, I think, one, clearly the Fed needs to end its policy of quantitative easing. It needs to pull its money out of this economy and stop swamping the economy with those monies. Secondly, the lesson here is that the Federal Reserve Board can't operate with two mandates like it has today. One of them is employment, and the second one is inflation, to keep it low. But they're at conflict with each other. The Fed is trying to boost the economy, but they're driving the value of the dollar down and the cost of products up. I think they need to have one mandate, price stability. In effect, they should focus on preventing inflation, keeping the dollar strong. They do that. I think at the end of the day, we've got a much stronger economy, and our paychecks go farther.
Congressman, there's been some talk from other countries that because of the devaluing dollar, that perhaps that should not be the standard by which oil prices and other things are measured on the international stage. And they've talked about a new currency, perhaps switching to another nation's currency. How big of a threat do you really think that is at this point?
It isn't a threat in the short term, certainly is in the long term. In fact, I think in some ways it may be inevitable, the way that China is growing and they're starting to enter their currency into the world a market basket of currencies. You're seeing oil traded in other currencies at an increasing rate. And I think a lot of countries, frankly, are skeptical that America will get its financial house in order and therefore will keep driving down the value of the dollar. So long term, it doesn't look good unless we change our ways.
Now, Congressman, you mentioned what you hope the Fed does. What about what Congress can do? What do you hope you and your colleagues do with the information you've produced today?
Well, one, I hope we can hold hearings and start to focus on one single mandate for the Fed, which is price stability, and we're going to do that in the Joint Economic Committee. But secondly, we have two great opportunities this summer. The first is the debt ceiling vote, where we can insist that the country and the government start cutting up its credit cards and start placing a discipline and limits on its spending. I think that's one opportunity. And then we've got the funding. The 12 bills that fund the government for next year will be coming across this summer as well. This is another opportunity for us to get our financial house in order and strengthen the dollar going forward.
Following up on both points you just made, because you led perfectly into the debt limit question as well, but following up on the Fed, finally, with one question there, how much leverage does Congress have over the Fed? We keep hearing about how it's its own separate entity, so how much pressure can you really put on the Fed and the Open Market Committee?
You know, I really think our best opportunity is to pass a law that says the Fed no longer has two mandates that are often in conflict with each other, but one. I think that's a real role for Congress to play. I think the pressure, my worry always, is that Congress will pressure the Fed to monetize the debt, to in effect make our debts look smaller in the future, but that drives down, again, the value of everything you and I have in our piggy bank and what we get in our salary each week or each pay period. So I really think a law, which I'm introducing, to create a single mandate is probably the best thing we could do.
Congressman, in terms of the debt limit, we've heard from Secretary Geithner over at Treasury that it was going to hit this month, then June, then July, then August, and lo and behold, we find out we officially hit it today. What does that mean in terms of how quickly this needs to be addressed, and does it change the balance of leverage and which side's likely to get what it wants here?
Well, clearly we've hit the debt ceiling today, and nothing's going to happen immediately. You know, Congress, or Washington, excuse me, the White House will be hoarding cash. We'll be delaying some of its payments to the federal retirement funds, and we'll only be turning over a debt that matures, so they're not adding new debt to it. They can do that for several months, if not more. At the end of the day, though, as a conservative, I think this is a great opportunity for us to insist on spending cuts equal or greater value to what the White House wants to borrow, and put in place that discipline, start cutting up those credit cards. So I think sometimes here in the next 60 days, is when it ought to be resolved.
Do you get the sense that Democrats are willing to embrace pretty much what you just outlined, or is it going to be a pretty fierce partisan fight?
I think it's going to be a very fierce partisan fight, as we saw from just the funding for the remainder of this year. You know, many Democrats don't want to cut a single dime out of these huge and dangerous deficits. I think the White House would be willing to make a few cuts, but they don't want to put in place the real limitations going forward in the future, which is what is critical for all of us. So it is going to be a tough battle, but this is a battle worth fighting because it has such a big impact on our future.
How do you figure you win if Democrats control the Senate and the White House?
It's going to be a fight, obviously, but I think the American public, actually I know the American public is with us on this. Poll after poll shows the public doesn't want this debt limit increased at all. And if they do, it's got to be with some serious spending restrictions. Plus, the clock is ticking. At some point, the White House is going to want that debt limit to raised, and we're going to need the spending cuts to do that.
Critical debates. Congressman, thank you so much for your time today. As always, we appreciate it.
Greg, thank you.
Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady represents his state's 8th Congressional District. He's the vice chairman of the Joint Economic Committee. He's also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.